comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. We are here because you have a right to know, and we're here because you matter. Don't let anybody convince you otherwise. You know, we're moving into our new house, the new members community that you've been hearing me talk about. Well, it's happening now. We're moving in. Pretty exciting stuff, but it does mean that the current or old members area does go offline temporarily from time to time as we are moving some things. And so if you're a member, don't panic if you go to log in. I know it's frustrating, but it just has to happen that way. And it doesn't mean that we're being attacked or that we're offline or something's wrong. It just means we're working on transitioning something from the current members area to the new members community. Have you heard about the giant squid? Let me tell you about the giant squid. Don't know why, but there are thousands, literally thousands, of these giant squid, Humboldt squid, invading, if you will, the shallow waters of Southern California. This picture that our members are looking at is a picture of a Humboldt squid that was caught right off the pier at Newport Beach in California. Like I said, nobody knows why. It's a big mystery. Nobody has any idea why all of these squid, thousands of them, are coming into shallow water. Very uncharacteristic of these squid, but they're there. So I guess in the next few days we will hear that it was caused perhaps by a Chinese wedding candle. The UARS satellite is, well, it was supposed to fall today. I assume it still will. It's got till 3-4 o'clock in the morning. That's the window that they're saying it may fall. What happened is it slowed down. It was descending at a rate that would have brought it down already, but that descent has slowed. It has slowed because of solar activity, or the lack thereof. The solar activity has calmed down just a little bit, and so this satellite is still descending, but at a slower rate. The impact area now, NASA says, will be somewhere from northern Canada to the southern tip of South America. How's that for accurate predictions? And they say that your chance of being hit by any of that debris is very, very slim. We are now in the window of time for it to happen, and as I am in the United States, I am in the window of location. So if we get bombarded by that satellite while on air, those who are members will get to see it live. How about that? We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith, your host, and we have as our guests tonight Troy Albright and Peter Gutilla. Together, these guys have amassed many years of research and investigation into the world of the paranormal, UFOs, Bigfoot, etc. over 40 years. They're making a return appearance here tonight on the Kevin Smith Show. And, gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. We are glad to be back with you.
Good to hear you.
You know, the last time you were here, we talked almost entirely about Bigfoot. And that's okay. But tonight, I want to venture into something that many people may consider a bit more esoteric than Bigfoot, and that would be light beings. I believe you have a book out that deals with light beings. Is that right?
Right, right.
What's the title of the book?
Oh, it's a wonderful branch of the paranormal. The title of the book is Contact with Beings of Light: The Amazing True Story of Dorothy Wilkinson Izatt. And I was first introduced to Dorothy Izatt, actually indirectly, by Alan Hynek in 1978. And Mrs. Izatt is an absolutely wonderful person. She's only 5 feet tall. She's a great-great-great-grandmother. And since 1974, she has amassed something in the vicinity of 35,000 feet of live-action movie film of what she calls the light beings.
Okay, and we'll get into her story in just a second, but we have a lot of folks in our audience, and at all different levels of knowledge about things like this. And we have new people every night that are just dipping their toes into the world of the strange and unexplained. So let's start out with, what are we talking about here? When you say light beings, what are we talking about?
Well, you know, we're talking about beings of light, made of light, singular and distinct from all other life forms in the universe. In my research along these lines, I've come to the conclusion that we're actually talking about angels, beings of light. This definition or description of them goes back thousands of years to the Old Testament and beyond. I mean, they were always spoken of as beings of light. And that's exactly what they are. And they can manifest, and they can appear visible, and people can experience them, and that's a relatively new episode in that long story.
Well, if they are angels, and if, I mean, if that's what they are, we know about angels primarily from the Bible, but if that's what they are, angel, of course, is not a being. It's a job description like plumber. Now, there's two different races.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Angel is not a being. The word angel just means messenger. It's a job description.
Well, let's forget the scripture because...
Well, now, wait a minute. All right. Now, there are two different races of beings that are named as being messengers. One of those races is the seraphim, and the actual translation of seraphim is the winged, shining serpent.
Okay, having a little trouble hearing you. Well, all right, I know where you're going with this, and I can only speak from my experience with them, and I'm not a scriptural scholar, and I can only tell you what I've experienced. If you're interested in hearing that, I'll be happy to make...
I was confirming what you said, that... there is one race of the beings that are commonly referred to as angels. There is one that is called the Shining Ones. They are the beings of light.
Right. Right, exactly. Well, the interesting thing about this new phase and manifestation of beings of light is that they are making an attempt now to connect with people. on a level that has not happened before. So Mrs. Izett proved that rather remarkably over a period of some 40 years by accumulating some around 35,000 feet of film footage. This gal had the good sense to get a little camera and record what she was experiencing. And I have some of that footage, and I had a 9-year-long research relationship with Mrs. Izett. And to this day, I still have contact with the light beings. Now, my conclusions from all of this is that they are benign. They are very high level. Their intention is to help us. Now, the thing is, on occasion when they appear, they could be mistaken for UFOs. And in a way, they are. I mean, for most people, they are unidentified. And often they are seen in the sky or in the air. Okay. Are you getting static? I'm getting static here.
We have static. We have a roar, almost a dull feedback.
Okay. I got an air conditioner going here. Hold on.
Yeah,
go ahead. Get that thing out of the way because it's making noise here. But anyway, so over the years, I've had many experiences with them. And to give you some perspective on this, Mrs. Izett, when she had her first encounter, which I believe was November of 1974, one of the light beings appeared before her. And she had been in a prayer. She used to say a daily prayer for her family and her children. And one afternoon, she happened to look up through a nearby window, and there was this beautiful diamond-like scintillating light just hovering right there in the sky near her home. And she asked the question. She said, "Are you one of those UFOs that have been reported in the area?" And she heard very distinctly, "No, we are not. Would you like to see one?" And, of course, she was elated, and she said, "I certainly would." And in seconds, there was a beautiful disc hovering right there in the sky near her home. And immediately she realized that the light beings and the so-called euphonauts or extraterrestrials were not one and the same. And what message I got from that was that apparently some extraterrestrials are more aware of and more abiding to the light beings than we are. I mean, we're still debating their reality, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed that some of the extraterrestrials were well aware of them. And therein is the rub, because when people hear of the Izett story, they think it's a flying saucer or UFO story. It's only partly that, because some of the extraterrestrials know of the light beings, and Dorothy has communicated with them. And keep in mind, this is not a matter of faith. This is not a matter of somebody telling a story and we have to decide whether or not to believe it. She has film documentation of all this, and I've seen much of it, and it's completely remarkable.
Okay, now this film documentation, is this pretty clear film? I mean,
No, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Super 8. What happened was that on the night this first began, she had carefully wrapped a Super 8 camera for her husband's birthday. And when this started happening, she went ahead and surreptitiously unwrapped the package and borrowed her husband's camera. And she started using that almost daily. And it's wonderfully clear. I am, you know, willing to show and share the footage that I have with people if they're interested. I have lots of stills from frames of the film. It's been thoroughly studied and pounced on by just about every expert you can imagine. Dorothy has been tested and retested and evaluated a dozen times. She's completely credible, an honest and trustworthy person. And I believe that there's no other single witness who has such a volume of material equal anywhere on the planet. So I spent a lot of time with it. I wrote a book about it. And it heralds in a new age, I think, in a way, of the paranormal, because it takes us a few octaves away from the usual stuff that we're used to seeing now that's been called the paranormal. And I've been in the field a lot of years, and I've had experience with most of it. And this is so utterly unique, it defies a convenient description.
Terry, have you seen this film as well?
Oh, absolutely.
How did it impact you when you saw it?
Nice little DVD. It's not one of those fuzzy things that you can barely make out. It's very clear.
How did it impact you when you saw it?
Well, it was very... First of all, I looked at it from a perspective of someone who's been looking into this phenomenon and UFO for many, many years, and I was impressed by the fact she had so much footage of something actually in the sky and moving about. It was something real. And then as Peter began to describe a little more about what Dorothy was talking about and what these things were, I began to appreciate it on a different level. So just on the face of it, the 35,000 or so or more feet of 8 millimeter that she has captured since 1974, just on that basis alone, it bears careful looking at. And Alan Hynek himself said, "You're doing important work. Keep it up."
He said that to her?
Pardon me?
He said that to her?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was one of the first scientists to really take a look at her work, and he was amazed, to say the least.
Now, this has been going on since, I think you said, 1974, is that right?
Right.
Is it still happening?
Yeah, well, Dorothy's close to 90 years old now, and she's more or less under the care and attention of her oldest daughter, and she's slowing down quite a bit, but she still gets a lot of these things on film from time to time. And remember, it's not all outside, and it's not all in the sky. These great beings can appear indoors, and they do. They have for me, as a matter of fact. And after my work with Dorothy, I began to have repeated experiences with them. And I've had a lot of people here with me to enjoy the event. The Mutual UFO Network sent a team out to spend time with me. And after the first evening, these people were literally sleeping on my floor and camping in my yard. And their videographer came away with about 22 hours, I think, of footage.
Of light beings.
Light beings and UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
There were some remarkable events. As a matter of fact, there was a huge ship that came over my house. And keep in mind, these are all multiple witness. I never report or seldom report an experience of my own unless there's someone there to confirm it. I don't want people saying Gatillo's seeing things again, you know. So I always have people with me. And in this instance, there were probably a half dozen or more with me when this happened. But a ship went over my house, and it was close enough that you could actually see the waffling underneath. And we had a number of those experiences because, I mean, after all, at that time, it was the Mutual UFO Network. These people were deeply interested in UFOs. And as I mentioned earlier, some ETs are really aware of the light beings, and they are therefore benign, and they mean no harm to us, but they are fully aware of our planet, they are fully aware of the people on it, and if given the right circumstances, they will make appearances for you. And keep in mind, I'm not a contactee. I'm a researcher, an investigator. That's what I've done all my life. And this entered, I think, an entirely new era in the field, although I've had a difficult time making that point among the conventionalists, because what this does is it raises us out of the nuts and bolts thing and the cover-up conspiracy thing. There's a little... a little ruminating by most folks.
And I can, I've been around Peter for 40 years, literally. I know that sounds like an awfully long time, but we aren't 90 either.
Yeah, I wish you'd quit saying that.
Yeah, I'm dating us. But Stan Friedman, the nuclear physicist, introduced us in about 1970. We've been together ever since. And Peter will bend over backwards be truthful and ethical. There's just nothing he will say or do that is not right on. And after I saw the footage, after I heard Peter's description, there's just no way that he's falsifying anything, and Dorothy is not either. I talked to Dorothy for many hours on the phone when we were preparing a sightings show. And she just is a very quiet little grandmother who wouldn't have had the wherewithal or the equipment to do any doctoring of any footage in 1974. We didn't have Photoshop then.
We didn't even have personal computers then.
You know, it just sits you back on your heels, and you have to start thinking, well, my gosh, you know, there's got to be something to this. There really has to be something to this.
Can you guys hear me?
Barely.
Okay. Well, you know, when I talked with you before the show, I didn't change any of the settings. So I don't know what to tell you.
You're coming through. You've got a nice clear voice.
Okay.
I'm not having any trouble. Are you?
I'm trying not to interrupt anyone. I hope I'm doing a good job at that.
Okay. Terry, have you, Peter has seen these light beings, have you?
Oh, yes. Peter and I had to go our separate ways for just a little while. I was doing a lot of film work and you know, traveling with my research and various things, and so we were apart for a while. I came back together with Peter, and about the first night we were out, I had a very nice experience, and then we always have the camera. We have the infrared video camera and the stills, and we have been getting some interesting photographs. So, you know, they're right here with us. I haven't had the remarkable experience that I'm kind of waiting for that Dorothy has captured so often, but I think that if I just keep watching the skies, I probably will have.
Oh, I have no doubt of it. Keep in mind, I worked with Dorothy for 9 years, and but then again, my history is full of this stuff. I mean, I had a close encounter when I was a child. I had numerous UFO sightings in the 1950s. You know, I pursued it through the 1960s and forward, and I've committed my life to it, and people out there who know me will acknowledge that, and I've never had any reason to stretch the truth. None whatsoever.
All right, we have to step away for a break, and we'll continue on the other side of this break. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're talking with Mr. Albright and Mr. Gutilla, and we are talking about light beings right at this moment. Terry Albright, Peter Gutilla, on the other side of this break. We'll continue.
Virginia, and you are smart because you are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
And welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. My guests this evening, Terry Albright and Peter Gutilla. And we're talking at the moment about light beings. Light beings, L-I-G-H-T, and we're not talking about their weight. We're talking about light, that visible light. And these are beings that, as described by both Mr. Albright and Mr. Gutilla, these are beings that are made of light. They don't give off light. They are made of light. I think I got that correct. Is that correct, Peter?
No, you certainly did. And I wanted to point out, too, that the light beings are for everybody. This is not the bailiwick of a handful of select individuals or researchers or anything like that. These beings are here at the Earth to help us. And I can say that with considerable conviction. I've been in this for a long time now. And I want people to know that it's not just for a few people. It's they're there for everyone. And they are distinct, made of light. Now, this light, interestingly enough, and this was something I learned early on, is a living light. It actually has a life which is unique from any other form of light. These are not photons or you know, like light you might get from a flashlight or a car headlight or something like that. And Dorothy and I did an experiment some years ago with this because she told me about this very early on, and I said, is there some way we can prove this? Can you film this activity, this action? And so what she did is she had a still photograph over her fireplace mantle from one of the frames of film, and it showed a light being. So she took her camera and she took a picture, took some footage of that still photograph. Well, when she had the film developed, you see the photograph actually come alive and produce phenomena similar to when it was raw and in the sky at the time she took the footage. So this light is actually living light. Now, the best way I can describe that is that nothing diminishes this light. No, the medium matters little. So, for example, if you were to look at a still photograph of one of the light beings, you will actually experience the effect of seeing this light being for yourself. Or if you see it in film or digitization and all this stuff of recent interest. So this is important because you can actually, when you see the footage, you will actually be touched by it. Now, I've shown the footage in my home to small groups of friends and whatever, and the responses are quite interesting. Some people will just break into tears. Others will actually get very uncomfortable and go dashing out the door. And I got a little tired of chasing people down my street. But this effect is part of the process. So what the light beings are doing is they're initiating a process for people. It has very little to do with phenomena. I mean, that's all well and good, and it's all very interesting, and it will all be summarily slotted in the usual categories by the conventional paranormalists. But this event is extremely valuable and extremely unique, and it is one for the people. It's not something that will be limited to those who are looking for it.
Do they communicate with you? Other than you have an emotional encounter, do they communicate with you?
Oh, yeah.
How do they do that?
Pardon?
How do they do
that?
Well,
they do that by psychic means, primarily. I've had many encounters now over the years, and I must tell you, they're so beautiful. And the light they emit is so all-encompassing, and it does produce very deep feelings of love. And you can sense it, and you don't have to take my word for this. I've got lots of corroboration. But you do feel a really warm sense of love from them. And they will communicate by ways of literally an idea becoming conscious to you. I mean, they're here now. I can feel them here now. Unfortunately, I don't have anybody on my monitor. And that brings, is there someone on my monitor watching this room?
I think one of the crews down there.
Okay. Well, we have small lights that appear in this room here, and I can feel them. They're here now. And these are an adjunct to the light being experience. But I want to tell people for sure that these do not require instrumentation of any kind. You know, in recent years, people have been devising all sorts of electromagnetic devices and infrared devices and on until it's becoming a little choke. But the light beings require no special equipment. If they choose to be photographed, you can photograph them with a point-and-shoot camera. And detecting them is a super psychic type thing because you can be standing anywhere, and if they appear, you will automatically turn. And so there's is that beam of light there?
Yeah, the beam of light.
Yeah, Terry's got a little thing here he uses to pick up on stuff, and I've been feeling it all along, but he's got it on a camera now. Yeah, there, right there. And the little lights, you can feel them. There are little lights here that come around, and one of them just sort of touched my face, and they generate energy, and you can feel it. But the whole point in all of this, and I say this with love for people out there, because I know the paranormalists and people who pursue these things know inwardly the truth, and they're trying to help others and help humanity. And I say to them, remember that we are in contact now, or have the ability now to contact beings much higher than before, although they've been here since the beginning of recorded history. But now they're coming closer and closer. And as I said on Coast to Coast not long ago, I made the point that there will be a thing called the Advent of Light. And it's something Dorothy told me years ago, and I never forgot this. And it was that the light beings had told her that Gabriel was about to raise the trumpet. And I've always liked that, because basically what they're going to do is give us a real boost of help. This isn't going to be mass murder or mass destruction or any of this stuff. I'll leave that to the bloodthirsty Mayans. But this, it's not going to be anything like that. It's going to be an uplifting through light. So in other words, the earth will be bathed in light, and everything on the earth will be lifted in a spiritual way. And that's the thing I'm sure will happen. People have said, can you predict when? No, I can't. I've been a practicing psychic all my life. I started having visionary experiences as a child. I wrote my own book about it. I've trained other people to do it, to learn how to be more sensitive and more psychic about certain things. And predictions are notoriously in error. So I will not predict anything. But what I will say is that from the communications I've had and other indicators, that advent of light will happen. But it could be 5 years, it could be 500 years. I wouldn't venture an exact date for it.
All right, well, let me throw a question or two in here.
I'm sorry?
Let me throw a question or two in here.
Yeah, go ahead.
First, for those of us who have not seen them, who have not experienced them, it may be a little bit difficult to wrap our minds around it. Do they have a shape, a size? What do they look like?
You know, I so appreciate that question, Kevin, because it is difficult. And I've spent the last decade or more trying to create this understanding for other people. And we're all at different levels of our understanding. We're all at different levels of our interests and pursuits. So it's not an easy thing. Now, light beings are capable of taking shape if they must. I have a photograph of one where it is definitely a human shape. But this was done so that those who were observing could grasp it. But basically, they're made of light. And it's just what the phrase indicates. I mean, their light is not the kind of light that we're accustomed to on Earth. But it manifests as light, and it looks like light, and it makes an effect like light, and no, it's not a duck. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's a completely different form of energy, and it's a living energy. But they can assume shape. Now, when I've seen them, because I suppose because of my background and experience, I don't have to see a shape. Just like I've had two close encounters with UFOs, and I have said to them in the process of this experience, don't take my memory. You don't have to do that, you know. So basically, because of my background and experience, I think they can appear purely as they are, and I will still feel what they're telling me, and I will feel the affection that they have, and I know what they're about. But for some people, they can take shape. I have. It's in my book. There's a sketch there of a light being we call the Lady in White, and her main function is to tend to children. And in this wonderful footage, you see this beautiful woman glowing, and she's carrying a child in her arms, and a parade of children follow her into the light and in toward the divine. It's a beautiful thing. And my artist that did the artwork for me in my book, Lucy West, made a sketch of this, and it's a wonderful thing to see. So they can appear in human form. They can appear of any size. I've often said to people, remember, the light beings are enormous. I mean, they are more consistent, more proportional, if you will, to the vast distances of our universe and space, because this is their bailiwick. This is where they move and where they occupy time and so forth. But they are huge. What we see is just what they can let us see of them, and that's usually a tiny fragment of their actual appearance. Someone asked me not long ago what would be a comparison. I said, well, look at it this way. One toe would cover the Western Hemisphere.
Well, that's pretty enormous, to say the least.
Yes.
Okay, now you said earlier they're coming closer now. Why? Why now?
Yeah, let me tell you, that's been the thing that just knocked me out, because the fact is that they are very aware of the pain and suffering on this planet. I mean, you know, they have a global view. Most of us only know what we read in the news or see on television or hear on the radio and so on. But they have a global view. So at any given moment, they're aware of and sobbing. I mean, they're weeping over the pain and brutality that is reigning over this world. They are especially concerned about children and the abuse and pain that's being leveled upon children. I once had an experience with the weeping and the sorrow that they're expressing, and I got to tell you, I didn't sleep for a few days after that, because if you hear these angels weeping and feel what they're feeling, it's terrible. And they're concerned about the abuses leveled at women. Now, I'll tell you something interesting about that, because, and I know I'll probably get letters, but I apologize ahead of time. But basically, women are closer to the angels.
Okay, hold that thought. We have to step away for a break. And when we come back from this break, we'll pick up right there. We'll be back, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening with Terry Albright and Peter Gutilla. Peter, as we went to break, you were just about to tell us something about apparently women are closer to these light beings.
Yeah, well, keep in mind, most of this is based on my observations and my own experience. But basically, women are the nurturers. They're the bearer of our children. They have hearts that are more in tune with that aspect of life in the angelic, basically. And there's a great painfulness felt by these beings because of what has been happening with children and women. That's very bad business. You don't make them suffer. You don't torture them. You don't murder them. You don't cause them difficulty, and that's been happening a lot. But their main concern is all of us, and that we are not getting the message, that we are not able to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. You know, the universal law has been, if I may explain this is all based on my experience now, there's no doctrine here, But based on my experience, this whole the world has not been able to evolve at a rate that it should. People are not able to raise themselves to a point of getting beyond the lower forces that are constantly working on them in this world. So they're getting close to the point now where God, if you will, the divine, is issuing an order to really give us help, not murder us, not cut us down at the knees, not punish us, but help us by lifting us up. I had an interesting experience with Dorothy Izett many years ago during the height of our research, and she shared something with me. We used to do this where she would actually send images of what she was experiencing to me, and I would experience some of those for myself, even though we were separated by 1,000 miles. And one of those was these great angels were lined up in a huge, beautiful corridor, and the roof of the corridor was filled with stars and light. And these great angels were standing there, shoulder to shoulder, and for all the world, they looked like soldiers. And they were standing shoulder to shoulder. I almost said soldier to soldier, and I guess they were. And they were all looking at this beautiful gold door. And I remember seeing this vividly. And Dorothy says to me, Peter, she says, they're waiting. I said, yes, what are they waiting for? And she said, for God to give the order for them to descend to our world and help us big time. Not little tiny helps, but big help. Because apparently we're not able to understand our role in the world. We're just not able to do that. The churches aren't accomplishing it. People are still betraying not only their ancient faiths, but everything about themselves from time to time. They're debasing themselves. They're causing great pain. I mean, you know, the light beings have a global view, and we can sit here now and be relatively free of suffering. But as we speak, everyone knows this, every second of the day somebody is being crushed, injured, murdered, and it's going on a mass scale. And they're basically tired of this. They said, listen, folks, you are a light being yourself. You just can't see the light because it's masked by the flesh. But you are made of light. And you are a light being that must return and refold to the light of creation, the light of the universe.
That's a very interesting concept, because it has now been discovered that our DNA gives off light.
Is what? I'm sorry, didn't hear you.
DNA gives off light.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, science will eventually come around, you know, but this is all a little premature for science. Although I've known some wonderful scientists. I grew up with scientists. I've had scientists who were my best friends. And one was an interesting combination. He was in, Outstanding Men of American Science, and other references. He was quite a genius, and I knew him for years. And he had an experience with the light beings on the deck of a submarine in the China Sea in 1947. And we would talk at great length about this. And to hear a scientist of respectable merit talk about these things is wonderful. But basically, for now, it's for us. It's for us ordinary people. It's a blessing to us. Now, people can have contact with the light beings if they want to. It just requires sincerity and an open heart. Go stand outside. Look at the sky. They may just decide to be there for you. I mean, I do this all the time. I've had friends come and sit with me, and they'll come visit. And you'll have an experience if you choose.
Now, when you do that, do your friends also see?
Invisible as well.
Whenever you do that, and you have friends there, do they also see the light being?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think I mentioned earlier that MUFON had sent a team of people over. Now, they were going to just hang around for, you know, a day and a night, right, to do a little night watch, sky watch. And they ended up staying 6 months. I mean, it got to the point where I was skipping on bodies in my living room, you know. But they had a lot of experiences, and they were wonderful experiences. And what I was happy about is I was able to encourage them to be patient, and they would see the difference between UFOs and the light beings. Now, the thing about the light beings is that they're threaded to every life form in the universe. They're aware of all this. They're aware of all the planets that have life. They're aware of all the levels and planes that have life and give life forth. So this is for them. It's, you know, it's part of every day. For us Earthlings, it's more or less a rare and occasional experience, if that, in the course of our lifetime, you know. But so they know all about that, and they know all about what's going on in that world. And I mean, in my conversations with Dorothy, we talked about all the stuff going on in the popular literature, the abductions, the so-called invasions, the shoot-downs, the hidden bases, and all this. And about 99.9% of this is, well, let me just say, wrong. And it's not that these things don't happen, and it's not that these things are not, you know, real conditions of things, but, you know, go ahead.
I didn't say anything. I'm just listening to you.
Oh, okay. I keep hearing a voice. I don't know where that's coming from.
There is a small something that happens every once in a while. I think it's Kevin, but it apparently isn't.
No, it's not. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I've been a long time in the field, and I've known a lot of ex-military people. I've known a lot of intelligence people, and I've heard all kinds of stories. I could talk for a month of Sundays about some of the experiments that I've been involved in, and some of them are pretty strange. And so UFOs are known. They're there. They're real. No doubt about it. And there's a lot going on. And I always tell people, listen, if you know, I like the military, basically. All my uncles were in the wars. You know, I've known a lot of military people. I actually like them, and it's not my goal, or never was, as a researcher, a field investigator, to make a pest out of myself. You know, go dragging my carcass around some top secret base or something. Now, if people want to do that, go ahead and do it, you know. And I've had a lot of contacts, and I've been told a lot of stories about this. But basically, we just have to remember it's a big world. It's a big sky. It's beautiful. Go stand out under the stars. Look at the stars. You don't necessarily have to see a UFO, but go look at the stars. This is indicative of the beauty of our universe.
All right, we have to step away for a break. And we will be back right after this, and we will open the telephone lines in this coming hour. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is. They kept you away during that first hour, but we're glad you're here now, delighted you're here now. My guests this evening are Terry Albright and Peter Gutilla, and we're talking about light beings. Now, we already have a call on hold. Caller, if you'll just hang on just a second, I want to ask Terry a quick question here. Terry, have you had any communication with these light beings?
Yeah, Terry will be right there. He just got a little befuddled with a big beam of light that just shot through my ceiling.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Just ask it again.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Terry, have you had any communication with these light beings?
Well, I'm a practicing psychic for many years, as well as Peter. We've worked together. Peter's trained me, in fact, for many years. and I get impressions. When we do our work for lost persons, I build a storyline which turns out to be a psychic reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that kind of communication and feeling of, yes, they're here, yes, they're going to help us, and yes, I'm going to be involved. And that's, I know, I was going to interject earlier too, I know this is a stretch, because it takes a while to kind of understand what's going on. Stretch for me. But as you begin to see the material, and you hear what Peter has talked with Dorothy Izad about, and what contact I had with her, knowing how honest and ethical she is. So you combine all that, and it starts to bring you around to the realization that we do indeed have something that we need to be paying attention to going on in our skies or in our living rooms. Peter, when we have our entire team here, we have so much activity. I can pick it up on a couple of different devices that I have, and it's actually quite shocking. It's something I'd never noticed before anywhere.
Okay.
So,
all right, let's go to the telephone. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Is it Troy calling from Canada?
Yes, Troy.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, hi, Terry and Peter.
Oh, hi. Is this, I know a Troy up there, probably not the same one, but go ahead.
Well, Kevin, I think I smell cabbage cooking.
Okay.
Just want to say this is my opinion, and I just don't believe any of the claims you guys are making, really. I'm not saying I don't believe Dorothy, and I'm not saying I don't believe in light beings. I'm just saying I don't believe any of you guys' experiences. I just don't, you guys don't come across as credible to me, and I'm sorry that I feel that way, but it's just my opinion. I just said to call in and state my opinion. So all the best, Kevin.
Okay, well, now hang on a second. Well, it's freedom of we have freedom of speech here. That's okay. You don't have to agree with me or with any of the guests.
You don't have to believe it.
But
what
is it?
At the beginning of the show, when like they had the air conditioner on, and it was causing a real racket in the background, I figured like they should have read your PDF as being a good radio guest, Kevin. Like to know that they're not going to have the air conditioner on in the background on a show on a live huge radio show.
Yeah, maybe you ought to hire him.
I don't know. But, Troy, what is it about what they're saying that to you makes it seem not credible? I mean, is there anything specific?
Well, I think, Peter, right? You did most of the talking so far to show, but...
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Like, he knows it. Like, Peter seems to know everybody. He's psychic. He got military contacts. He's in experiments. He's getting contact from light beings, and one shot down to the roof right now, and then he thought he knew someone, knew Troy up in Canada. He suffers from megalomania, man. I really hope you seek attention, medical attention swiftly.
hey, thanks. I'll take your advice. I'll seek therapy immediately.
Okay, well, Troy...
What you need to do is read my book. Read my book.
Troy, thank you for the call, and thank you for expressing what you think. And on this show, we always say, you don't have to agree with me. You don't have to agree with the guest. And you can say what you think. And I appreciate you doing that.
I've had megalomania tendencies for years. That's why I talk so much.
Okay, to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Kathy from Las Vegas.
Hello, Kathy.
I wanted to thank you, gentlemen, for bringing this to our attention today. It's very interesting. But I had a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you talking to Peter or Terry or Kevin?
Both, actually.
Okay.
For someone who has never seen them but believes that that it's quite possible for others to see, is there any kind of, like, meditation or exercises or a message that you can mentally project out to be able to see them, or so they can come to you, or if they are already there, how does one go about improving the perception of them?
Oh, yeah, that's really lovely, and I appreciate that question. This is Peter. Yeah, what you can do is just have a very open heart, be sincere. And when you're under a starry sky, or even if you're just sitting in a chair somewhere, you know, close your eyes, clear your thoughts. In other words, just look at the grayness behind your eyes for a little bit and not worry about things. Let go of the worry, let go of the thinking a little bit. You can never fully stop your thinking, but you can ignore it a little bit, you know. And then issue a request. Say, I call to the light beings, to the angels of God, whatever phrase pleases you, and say, I would love to have an experience with you, and if it is the will of God, I'd like to see you, and I'd like to have a communication with you, and be very patient. I've worked with some people now that it took the better part of a year for them to really start looking. Now, when you look at the sky, watch for movement. Many of the light beings start out as pinpoints of light. Now, the average skeptic is going to scream, that's a satellite or this or that, but don't be too sure. Just watch and let it do whatever it does. If it moves across the zenith and vanishes under the horizon, then let it go. But if it's one of the light beings, they'll start out as quite small, and they will build and build and build until they are very bright and beautiful and just right there before you. Just be patient and carry on with it. But remember, these are messengers of God, to borrow from the old verse. And they really are. And they love us and they love you. So, but, you know, sometimes we think we are ready to have this experience, but we may not be quite ready enough. Dorothy went through a period where her eyes were swollen and red for a while. So she went to the doctor, and they couldn't find any reason for it. So she asked the light beings. They said, we're raising your eyesight. It will go away, and it certainly did. In other words, they were purifying her eyesight so she could see more, because that's what she really wanted to do. She wanted to see. And, of course, if it can be seen, it can be recorded, which was even better for her. But I can tell by your voice that you probably will see them. Just be patient and know that even as we're speaking now, they're there with you. There are literally millions of them around the earth, and they're there, and they'll hear you, and be patient with it.
Kind of like a sparkle?
I'm sorry?
Like a sparkle? Would it start out small like a sparkle?
Believe me, I had people with cameras and all kinds of gear at certain times, and they'll start out as a small pinpoint of light, possibly. Now, sometimes not. You might go out, you're in Vegas, Las Vegas. Well, that's a wonderful spot. I mean, you know, you don't have to go very far out of the city, and you've got a beautiful starry sky. The only reason you want starry is because, for one thing, it's easier to detect light for us if we're in a darker place, although I've actually encountered the light beings in parking lots in busy places. But for most beginners who would like to have this experience, find a nice, quiet place and watch the sky. And you'll see. You might see satellites and all this junk that we've managed to stick in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you, and I can prove this, some of these little satellites are not little satellites. I mean, they can be the light beings, and they can even be UFOs, because that's a magnificent way to mask your flying around the sky, right? Because the average mind of the average person will immediately assume it's a satellite. Well, just go out and watch. You'll know the light being when you see it. And don't be afraid. There's no harm, no injury from it. You'll be perfectly okay. And let me know. I mean, you can write me at petergatilla@aol.com.
Well, thank you.
And that's, you know, if you'd like, write to me and let me know what you experience, if anything, and maybe I can help you with it a little more.
Thank you very much. So maybe that's what my cats are always looking at.
Yeah, could very well be. Wouldn't be surprised.
Thank you very much, Kathy.
All the time. Go ahead.
We appreciate the call. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone line is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you are in the USA or Canada, you need to use the telephone line. If you're outside of the USA or Canada, you have a choice. You can use the telephone line or send me a flash message. If you're in the USA or Canada and you send me a flash message, I'll never see it. Okay, it's filtered out. Reason? Well, it's a talk show, not a type show. Okay? All right, to the telephone, caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Colin from New York.
Okay, Colin.
The reason I'm calling is, especially in light of the first caller tonight, I completely take the opposite view based on personal experience. And while this is a normal reaction for people to have, that, you got a screw loose, and it's just because it's outside of people's perspective. Experience is a very convincing thing, even if you can't make heads or tails of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When you have a palpable thing happen to you, then you have to make heads. I had an experience, which I called here about, and we talked about it a couple times. And I've come to think of it as this light being that the thing, the dimensional sort of encounter, the humming that went on in my body as it occurred, my return to my base instincts of not fear but anxiety, you know. And I had an experience in 2008, and it was only about 5 seconds long, and it's been something that's been pervasive in my life, you know. And I mean, it hasn't wrecked my life or anything. I keep it to myself mostly, but it's something I'll never forget. And the brilliance of the eyes were they were so blue. I thought it was a hologram because it was in a prone position and it didn't move. But as I've gone on from the moment and thought about it more and more, I think that somehow that humming in my body, the connection was trying to be made, and my return to my base instincts, I somehow broke the connection. I think that was the reason why this 7 to 8 foot being that was really slender, was humanoid in form, had very, very long fingers. I couldn't really, I really tried to recall the feet, but I guess I just didn't focus on them or whatever. And like I say, it was only a couple of seconds I saw this thing. But the brilliance of these eyes, they had such blue eyes. It was like unbelievable electric blue eyes. And it was only a couple of seconds, but it's something I'll never forget. Even though I can't really share it with people, it was a real experience in my life. A hum came over me. I felt almost hypnotized, almost like drawn to this point in the fence to look. And as soon as I started to experience what I was looking at, I had to draw back from it because of my nature. And but I just wanted to share that story.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Thanks. Well, what's interesting to me is that, we cannot step inside your skin, but there's no doubt in my mind that you had this experience. You know, it's very hard for other people to understand what you have experienced over many years and to have to step into that person's skin and see it through their eyes is very difficult to do. But I can hear your sincerity, and I would never say, no, you're off your rocker, you didn't see this, because I know that you had this experience. The way you talk tells me that.
Yeah, and you've had similar experiences.
All right. Colin, I want to thank you for the call. Fascinating. Fascinating. Now, I have a question for you, Colin. Are you in the city, or are you somewhere else in the state? Well, I guess he's gone. Yeah. Okay. All right. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. You're hearing things tonight that you're not likely to hear in most places. There are other shows that would present this material to you, but you're not likely to hear it in most places. And the reason that we present material is not because we are trying to promote it or because we are trying to debunk it. Neither one. But because How can you possibly make up your mind about what you think if you haven't heard it? Now, here's another thing. On this show, we don't talk about what other people are saying. I mean, we mention it, but we don't discuss what other people are saying and, you know, make a big deal out of it. We try to get the people themselves on the show to say it so you can hear it. And it's important that you hear it so you can make up your own mind as to what you think about it. Now, there are people listening to the show who do believe angels exist. Some of those people are very religious and some are not. If you think angels exist, what do you think they would look like? If you think they look like what's in the paintings, you know, the old classical paintings, you're wrong. If you think angels look like little naked babies with wings, you're wrong. Because they actually can look like whatever they want. At least that's what the evidence is. Now, have I seen angels? Have I seen light beings? Well, I don't believe in anything. I don't disbelieve either. If something is, it just is. And that's all there is. And if it isn't, it just isn't.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the classic agnostic view.
Well,
I'm beginning to like this guy a whole lot.
if it is, it just is. I don't have to understand it. You know, do you know who Boyd Bushman is, guys? Have you heard of Boyd Bushman?
Yeah, I know that he's been in the books a few times. I couldn't tell you exactly what his story is though.
Well, he's one of the top guys at Skunk Works. And developed some of the highest tech stuff that has ever been developed. Super, super, super secret stuff.
Yeah.
All right, now listen to this.
What does he have to say?
I saw him on a video, and he was being interviewed, and he was asked about the work of John Hutchinson. Right. John Hutchinson is kind of the modern-day Tesla.
Yeah, well, you know that Dorothy Izett knew him.
And whenever this interviewer was talking with him, he said to Boyd Bushman, a lot of physicists say his data doesn't make sense. And here's what Bushman said. Data never has to make sense. It just has to be accurate. And I think that's kind of, you know, what we have to approach a universe that just a lot of it doesn't make sense. The data doesn't have to make sense. It has to be accurate, that's all.
You know, we've been operating on that premise for many years. Much of this that we see and hear, we don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that we have evidence of it happening.
Well, yeah, let me make one statement here after this guy with the megalomania rant. First of all,
well, now wait a minute. In his defense, he was expressing his opinion, and that's okay.
Well, that's right, and I reject it. And I'll tell you why.
All
because
right.
Dorothy Izett has some 35,000 feet of film. And you can look at the film and you can decide what there is about it that you don't believe. I mean, it's almost preposterous. I mean, the fact is there's something on that film. And that something has been captured by a completely credible, honest, thoroughly tested individual. Now, we can argue about what's on that film. It's over blue in the face. But I tended to believe what Dorothy had to say, and I followed through with my research. And that's what came out in the wash.
Okay.
These are light beings. Now, people don't have to believe it. No one's required to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm talking about, and that's where the evidence leads us. Now, if people really want to test this, I can help them with that. You know, Dorothy Izett said years ago, she said, if you don't believe me, well, come on down. She's close to 90 now, and there's a little less opportunity for that, but she made that very clear, and I did too. I mentioned it in my book. If you don't think this is real, well, come on. Let's hear what you have to say. Give me a salient alternative. And so far, no one was able to do that. No mm-hmm. expert, no scientist, no researcher. Okay, so if you just want to reject it out of hand because it might disagree with your personal view or your pet project or whatever it is you've got going, well, be honest enough to say that, and we'll drop the subject. But if you want to consider the possibility, then I would suggest you read my book, or you can communicate with me directly. I've made several offers now to help people have the experience if they're interested. And I have a tiny, tiny few takers.
Mm-hmm.
What I normally get is a lot of argument because, and Dorothy ran into the same problem. It's when people, invest a lifetime in looking into cover-ups and conspiracies or the nuts and bolts aspect of ufology. They just don't want to bother. Their minds are made up, don't bother me with the facts. It's just that simple.
Let me ask you a question. Does it
have the experience? Go ahead.
Does it irritate you that he had the opinion that he has?
No, I think the general view irritates me because nobody's asking anybody to believe anything. You know, and I've made that point repeatedly, and I'm just a little jaundiced of the debate. You know, it's the same thing with UFOs. I mean, we're still going into this reality debate when there's no doubt UFOs are real. No doubt whatsoever. And yet people are still arguing petty issues about perception and interpretation and all of this, and I find it tiresome. And, what I'm trying to tell people is this does not require your belief. If you don't believe it, then you have to be asked the simple question, what do you know about it? And most people who reject this out of hand don't know anything about it. So my recommendation is, well, rather than get yourself all couched and crumbly in a negative reaction, read the material. Take a look at my book. Take a look at the footage and make your decision.
All right, we're going to talk about that footage when we come back. We have to step away for a break. It's going to take over here in less than 15 seconds. But I want to talk with you when we come back about the footage and how it is that people can take a look at the footage. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this.
You're listening to The Kevin Smith Show, like no other talk radio on earth.
All right, welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. My guests this evening, Terry Albright and Peter Gutilla. As we went away for break, I said I wanted to ask about the footage, and I do. I want to give the telephone number out first, and that is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can either call that number or you can send me a flash message. If you're in the US and Canada or Canada, please call us at 623-444-5889. We're talking about light beings, okay? Now, you've told us about this footage that Miss Izat shot, and both of you have viewed it. Both of you have said it's rather incredible, phenomenal footage, something really to behold. Where can people see it?
Okay, let me... I'll be happy to answer that, but let me make up one more point. Terry just reminded me of something. To people out there who might get the impression that I'm setting myself up as some sort of third-rate messiah, this is not the case. This isn't about me. It isn't about my book. It's about a phenomenon that is available for all people. And I just want to make that point clear. I'm not a minister. You know, I'm not ministering the masses here with anything. It's for them, people, to decide is real or not. And the evidence and the proof is there. Now, this brings us to footage. The footage is magnificent, but there's an awful lot of it. In my time working with Dorothy, I've seen a fraction of the footage, but it's really wonderful to see. It's clear. But you know, keep in mind that these little frames of Super 8 movie film at the time are the size of one's pinky fingernail, and analysis has to be done very carefully, and so on. And it has been done by lots of people. There's no indication of hoax. There's no indication of chicanery of any kind. And Mrs. Izat has been tested, and you know, on and on and on. So it's pretty good stuff. Now, if you want to see it, people can write to me and can talk to them about that. But there is a DVD available. I'll tell you a little bit about this DVD. When I did Coast to Coast, I was contacted by a lot of producers, Hollywood producers. And they all, because I mentioned the one thing I wanted to do was to bring the story of Dorothy Izat to the public, because I wanted to get as much of the message out as I could. And I thought maybe doing a documentary about this would be one way to do that. Well, I got contacted by a lot of producers, and I met with each one at a restaurant, right, and interviewed them. And there was one that struck me as being a relatively good guy. His name was Frank Longo. And so I more or less guided Frank into the Dorothy Izat story. I provided him with a lot of information, sources, and so forth. Well, ultimately, he produced an interesting DVD called Capturing the Light. And this can be purchased over the Internet. Terry, you know a little bit more about this than I do, the sources where you can get this DVD.
Well, the best thing is to... Excuse me, I have a cough and a sore throat. The best thing is probably go to our fan page, and we can tell you how to get a hold of the DVD. There are some other places to get it, you know, the usual places to send away, like Amazon and various things. But, you know, I'd love to hear from people anyway. You know, this isn't about selling DVDs and books, as Peter said. In fact, Peter has not really seen any kind of return out of his 9 years of work. He virtually has gotten nothing out of it, except for the fact that he's being able to share his work about Dorothy Izat. I'd be thrilled to death to tell them different places to see it. Some of the places I'm not thrilled with, but we can let them know. If you just go to our fan page, just go to Facebook and put in either Godzilla Albright or Albright Godzilla, and that'll take you right to our fan page.
Yeah, and they can write me, too, if they'd like it, petergodzilla@aol.com.
Okay.
You know,
very
Kevin,
good.
We're just a couple of guys. You know, I'm from Kansas. Peter's been out here in California all of his life, and we kind of, you know, we're kind of at that stage of life. I guess we're just old beach boys. You know, but we don't have any agenda except to share this material with people. We'd like to have people go out with us and experience it themselves. So if there's an agenda, that's the agenda, to share this.
All right, we have a flash message from Nick in the United Kingdom. Hi, Kevin. I would like to ask your guests whether they are familiar with the phenomenon of crosses of light in the sky. My mother used to tell me that as a child, she would regularly see these crosses, and she would refer to them as angels.
All right. That's an interesting area of phenomena. I am familiar with it, and who knows? I mean, I know the light beings are capable of acquiring almost any shape if they choose. I suppose if one is a devout Christian, it would manifest in some Christian way, only for the sake of calming nerves and keeping people calm and so forth. You know, for researchers like me, I've seen all kinds of things in the course of my career, and so things know they can appear like they are for me. I'm not going to go running down the street tearing at my hair, you know. But, yeah, that could very well have been the light being. There could have been a message in it for his mom. It does happen, yeah.
Okay. Well, Nick, in the United Kingdom, thank you for the flash message, and I hope that answered your question for you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are outside of the USA, we know it's expensive to make an international call. If you're outside the USA and outside of Canada, it can be expensive to call that number. That's why we have that flash message option there for you, and I invite you to use it. Now, at the same time, I want to tell you that if you are anywhere on this planet, you can call that number, 623-444-5889. And you can get through, and we'll be more than happy to talk with you, no matter where you are on the planet. The reason for the flash messages is because we do understand it can be expensive for international long-distance calls. Okay, so some of the footage is on this DVD.
Right.
Do you know how much of the footage is on this DVD? Do you know how many minutes we would get to see of it?
It's not much. But again, if people are willing to contact me, I have probably the largest collection of footage of anyone. And after some 9 years of work, I know just about as much about Dorothy Izett as, you know, can be done in a lifetime. So, but they can talk to me, they can write my email address, and if they're local, we might be able to work it out so that we can meet. We are thinking of holding a seminar, possibly, at which point I'll be happy to show some of the footage to people if they'd like to see it. It would be most wonderful. I mean, I encourage people, if you have an interest, and, you know, it's not, I'm not doing this because I expect a return. I really don't. But if you, you know, are interested in seeing it, we might be able to work that out. The DVD is the closest thing I can think of right now for those out of the area or at distant places around the country and around the globe. If you, it's got some footage in there, but it's really an interesting, Frank Longo did a pretty interesting job at this. You get to see Dorothy. Like I say, she's now almost 90. She's not as spry as she was and so forth, but you get to see her, and there is an event that takes place on the DVD while it was being shot and filmed. That's worth looking at.
Yeah, a live shot.
Yeah.
When they were interviewing one of the people. Very, very interesting. And just so you know, we're not hedging. We're not really set up to show a lot of footage. A lot of this footage is on seldom used video. And so we're not really, you know, we don't have a lot of it on a format where people can readily see it. That's something we plan to do in the future, but right now we're just basically working along and doing the research and hoping that we're going to be able to get that footage onto DVD so people can see it this day and age.
Yeah, well, they can certainly come to me. I wrote a book about Dorothy, so if you'd like to talk to me, if you're within hailing distance, I'll be happy to show you some of the footage that I used in my research of the whole thing. But it's really quite wonderful. The fact that it exists is established. There's no doubt that there exists 35,000 feet of film, no question. It's there. My goal early on was to have it archived, and hopefully that's what they're doing. I've not been able to work with the family now in Canada for a long time because I've had to get onto other things I need to do in life, but it's there. You can take my word for it. Accusations of megalomania notwithstanding, I'm telling you the truth. The footage exists. It's there. It's real. It can be seen, and it will be at some point in the future.
Sounds like Troy hit a nerve with you.
Yeah, because it's an attack. It's an attack on me, and that chap is that fellow that called in was just stirring the pot. This is not.
Oh well, I get look, man. I get email every day telling me I'm a nut. You know, it's
not a deal.
Telling
me anything I don't know. No, don't accuse me of being a little hypersensitive here. Well, I answer questions when they're directed to me, and people always seem, or some people always seem to get it wrong. I'm not carrying some banner here. This is a fact that can be proven. Now, don't come after me. If you got a problem with me, that's fine. Look at the data. Look at what exists, the evidence. And that's all I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being funny by referring to megalomania because that just makes me fall under the table. Because that's not the case at all. And I'm trying to indicate to people who might be interested that, look, take a look at the data. Take a look at the evidence. It has nothing to do with me. If you don't like the way I part my hair, oh, I'm sorry about that.
You know what? Nobody, absolutely no one on this planet has a problem with the way I part my hair because I don't have any. Okay, let's go to the telephone real quickly here. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Barrett from West Virginia.
Hello, Barrett.
Hey, I was just wanting to know if the guys have heard of the Brown Mountain Lights in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. What do you think those are? Do you think that these are light beings as well?
Yeah, it could very well be. You know, I could tell you some really bizarre stories that people have told me over the years. And let me just give you one that's kind of interesting. Not all light phenomena are light beings. I mean, you know, that just stands to reason. But Brown Mountain, yeah, I've been around a long time. But I tell you a little story here.
I'll tell you what, before you get into that story,
yep.
We are about 35 seconds away from a break. So, okay. Barrett in West Virginia, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Yeah, sure.
All right. And I certainly hope that Terry Albright and Peter Gutillo would be willing to hang on through the break.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to step away here for just a couple of minutes, and when we come back, we will pick up with this conversation between Terry Albright, Peter Gutillo, and Barrett from West Virginia. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. On the telephone with me from West Virginia is Barrett. I hope you're still there. Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. And on the other line with me, Terry Albright and Peter Gutillo. Now, Peter, you were about to tell a story, and this was in reference to some lights, I think.
Oh yeah. I mean, those of us who've been in the paranormal field and the unexplained research of the unexplained generally have run into these sorts of things many times. But one case that really kind of interested me was two cyclists. They were training for the Olympics, and they were going along a mountain road. And they stop dead still, and they see a Bigfoot. And now keep in mind, these are credible guys, not kooks, not drunken bums at 3 in the morning. They weren't, you know, there was no question of their credibility. And I interviewed them carefully, and they were telling me that there was this creature and they both stopped and were stunned to see it. But then suddenly there was a flash of light, and the creature itself seemed to disappear, and in its place was a ball of light, which went up over the mountains and disappeared. So there's a lot of these things happening that may seem like other things but have no relation. But I do know about the Brown Mountain Lights, and that's been a subject of deep interest for people I've known over the years for a long time.
Barrett, did you have another question or comment?
I'm sorry, okay. I couldn't hear you.
Did you have another question or comment?
Oh, no, I wanted to share an experience I had.
Wow, man, we're getting all kinds of echo out of your speakers.
See what they describe as they kind of look like satellites.
All right, just got to go ahead and cut that down because we're getting lots of echo. I don't know. I'm still getting it. It must be out of Peter, out of your speakers.
Yeah, it might be. I'm getting an echo on my phone.
Yeah. Okay. Well, unfortunately, because of that, we are going to have to go ahead and say goodbye to Barrett, but Barrett, thanks for the call. Very interesting. Now, you know, we also have these stories out of Texas, out of Marfa, Texas, about the lights at Marfa, Texas.
Right. That's a good one.
Yeah. Is that similar to the Brown Mountain Lights?
Oh, it probably is. I mean, you know, the archives are filled with stories of these ground-based lights, and I had an old prospector tell me many years ago that when you saw these lights in the remotes, that this was usually where there was gold, right? So this old guy would take a bow and arrow out. When he saw these ground lights moving around, he'd shoot the arrow in that direction. And it was just a little bit like, you know, finding herbs and that kind of thing, but he would then find gold. Yeah. So, you know, the explanations are rife. It could be almost anything. The light beings, on the other hand, are so beautiful and kind of overwhelming, in fact, that, you know, there can be no mistaking them with any other light phenomenon.
So if you were to see these ground lights and then you were to see a light being, you would distinguish between them easily.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen a lot of these terrestrial lights, and they're interesting. I got harangued by some fellow who was writing a book about lights associated with earthquakes and so forth, and it took a long time for me to convince him that, no, these were different than these, I forgot what he called them now, but it had to do with seismic pressure and all that. And, you know, the thing about research is, and I've always made this point, or tried to make this point, clear with people who are just starting out, remember that logic 101, it's that two things can look like each other or be similar to each other and not have any relation to each other. So there are a lot of light manifestations. Some disembodied spirits can manifest enough energy to produce light. Light can be produced naturally many ways. UFOs generally are visible at night, and they give off light, you know, and on it goes. But I've always tried to tell folks, well, don't be too quick to link them all together as if they're all one and the same. They could be different, but just appear to be similar,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, yeah, you know, a flashlight and a laser are both light, but one of them can cut right through you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, so what's the point of anyone meeting a light being? Why should they want to do that?
Well, you know, I could talk on Sundays about what the point is. Basically, it is in an attempt to raise up the spirit of each of us. In other words, we're all light beings, basically, and Dorothy has made that point many times. And we're all at different measures of brightness, because that's just the result of the human experience. And this light within us is the light that survives. It's what our soul is consists of. It's the eternal part of ourselves. And so you want to have this light nurtured in this lifetime if you can. And that's one of the main effects of contact with the light beings. They will send light to you. They will deliver the light to you. And it will help you grow within. Now, again, like I say, this is something you have to experience. I can talk about it and I can describe it, but you have to have the experience, and you will. If people open up and welcome this, it'll happen.
So this can happen to, I mean, it's open to anyone?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. All of us. That's the whole point of it. I mean, nobody is exempt if they choose. But it's a little like believing in something. It's a little like prayer. It's a little like our view of human life and what life in this world is about. Of course, I mean, some people out there are like stone. They're not going to be interested in anything. Other people have an inkling. They feel something within themselves, and they know. I mean, for someone like me, after 9 years of working with Mrs. Izat, I mean, I had a lot of experience before that, all corroborative. I can prove every bit of it. And I've had many of these experiences, and I know there is a central power. I know that there's a creative force at the center of the universe. Call it God Almighty. Call it anything you choose. By any other name, it's the same. At the beginning, the light beings were set into motion. So they were made of the very light that was initiated at the beginning of the universe as it was begun, and then it rolled forward and evolved. And along with all the evolution of things, the light manifested as matter, and the light went on to manifest in other ways. And then along came human beings, and here we are, and we're all light, but we have lost contact with it. We have forgotten it. We've become so wrapped with the things of this world, with the material world and the struggle we live here, that we've tend to pay less and less attention. So the light beings are there to tell us this. Look, people, here's what you can do, what you can receive. This is where your destiny is. It's not here in this world, because life in this world, physical life in this world, is relatively short. Now, you're going to be spending most of your career on the other side. But what you do then is you have to balance your life here and give a little attention to your soul.
I wish we had more time, but we don't. I want to thank you, Terry and Peter, for being with us this evening. And if you will stay on the telephone with me for just a moment as I bring the Starship in for a landing. My thanks to Terry Albright and Peter Gutilla. My thanks to every one of you who called in. My thanks to Nick for the flash message from the UK. Thank you for participating in tonight's show. You are what this is all about. You are why we do what we do. So thank you for being a part of it. Don't forget, if you're not a member, join now. Lock your price in at $6.95 a month. We're moving into the new members area very, very soon. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.